Preface my remarks by reading in 1 Timothy chapter number 4, verse number 13. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear unto all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt save thyself and them that hear thee. Paul was a sticker that our doctrine would be absolute. Paul was so sure that what he taught was correct that he said, if an angel come from heaven teaching any other doctrine, let him be accursed. I was holding revival in one of our major cities, and a nationally known evangelist had an angel tied to a tree out at the edge of the city and was inviting everyone out to see him. Before we got out to see him, he got away. I didn't go. I figured he could get away if he wanted to. He got Peter out of jail. I figured if he knew he had a knife, that'd cut the rope. I get amazed. Paul talks about the value of sound doctrine. He says to Titus, speak thou the things that become sound doctrine. Let's look at 1 Timothy chapter number 5, verse 3. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes and words, whereof cometh envy and strife and railing and evil surmising, perverse disputing of men of corrupt minds, destitute of truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. What a standard barrier for the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us turn in our Bibles again, and I'll read, because my lesson this morning is going to be based solidly upon the Word. But let's go to the 10th chapter of John for eternal life message. John, have you found it? Chapter 10, verse 25. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. And they follow me. I don't know whether you mark your Bible or not, but if you mark it, draw a little line under that. They follow me. You can tell God's sheep anywhere you see them. They follow me. And I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave me them is greater than them all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. What a beautiful reading that is. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I thrill because God's Word gives us glorious, blessed assurance in Jesus Christ. We have a faith that is absolute. We have a confidence that is sure. We have grace that is sufficient. We have power available that is able to keep you from falling and to present you blameless. I looked again to the Word of the Lord, and I'd like to just share it with you now. Verse number 14 of the second chapter of 2 Peter. Having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, and heart they've exercised with covetous practices, cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and have gone astray and have followed the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness but was rebuked for his iniquity, the dumb ass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the midst of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. While they promised them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought into bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, they're again entangled therein and overcome, and the latter end is worse with them than in the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. For it happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Father, I thank you for the reading of thy holy word today. And I ask the hand of the Lord would grant us wisdom, understanding, revelation, inspiration to the reading of the word. I pray for the word of wisdom now to speak thy word with divine unction and leadership in doctrine and in truth. In Jesus' name, amen. The subject of eternal life. God is eternal. Isaiah said he's everlasting. My heart thrills to know the self-existent, eternal God. In the beginning, God. Self-existent, almighty, El Shaddai. Jehovah Jireh, the almighty, self-existent one, knew no beginning, for he is the beginning. All things were made by him and for him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. Life is in Christ, eternal life. He alone is the possessor and the distributor of eternal life. Then God created man and made man an eternal existent being. Whether you're saved or not saved, you're an eternal being. There'll never be a day when you're not. God breathed into that hunk of clay an eternal, never dying, living soul. We are eternal existent being. There'll never be a day when we're not. We came into this world from the hand of God. The Spirit of God formed us. We were given life from God, and that is eternal existence. But then God placed in us something else. And that is a free will. God gave you a will he will not violate. If you will to be saved, you'll be saved. In fact, salvation begins when you start toward the altar. It begins when you start giving your life to God. And your salvation is not culminated in its finality with all of its fullness until we stand in his presence with a glorified body complete in his presence. We are now sons of God. We are now redeemed. We are now his purchased possession. We are now saved by grace, but our final redemption is waiting for the redemption of this body. Hallelujah. So let me talk to you. Self-existent. But God gave Adam an eternal package. Not only eternal existence, but eternal life. And Adam could have lived in eternal bliss, for death was not on Adam in the beginning. For death reigned from Adam to Moses. But sin brought death, and it brought eternal death. Adam was not a sinner when God made him. God created him in his beauty, but he gave him a will. And the fall of man brought that eternal death into the soul of mankind, and man then lives an eternal state of death. I read the words of the second chapter of the book of Genesis, when God said, ye, if you take of this tree, you shall surely die. The devil counteracted it in chapter 3 of Genesis and said, ye shall not surely die. This, you can't die. But God's word was eternal. And man did not die physically. He died spiritually, and eternal death set in. And the Adam's race became a part of an eternal damnation or eternal death. So now, how can we reconcile? How can we bring that fallen man back into relationship with God and restore eternal life? I want to tell you how. In him is life. Hallelujah. 1 John chapter 5, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. And I give unto them eternal life. I want to shout this morning, we're not hanging on a little thin thread of hope. We've got a hold of eternal life. And how we got a hold of it? We were baptized into Jesus Christ by one Spirit, and he is eternal. He has eternal life, and the life that's in the Son is in us when we're in Christ. In him we live, we move, we have our being. That's the reason why I have trouble with these that talk about Christians being devil possessed. I don't believe one word of it. If a devil gets in you and you're in Christ, he'll be a same devil. Amen. He just can't get there. He may oppress you. He may tempt you. He may try you. He may buffet you. But he cannot possess you. Praise the Lamb. So, in Hebrews chapter number 5, it says, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation. Eternal salvation. Unto all them that what? Obey him. There's the secret. Your life is eternal in Christ as long as we walk in obedience and live in the Son. I read the scripture this morning that thrilled my soul. My heart was thrilled with the reading of the word when it said, we're kept by faith through the power of God. There is the secret, believing on him. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 5, kept by faith through the power of God. I looked again to the word, found out that eternal life is not abstract. It's in the Son. If I am in Christ, I have eternal life. Outside of Christ, I live in eternal death. And it can be interchanged. Someone said, Brother Blankel, if God gives us eternal life, can you lose eternal life? Yes, it's still eternal life, but you can lose it. Life is in the Son. I have a little gold ring that my wife gave me when I took her for better or worse. I promised her I do. Young people thrill me. I don't understand young people. They come down the aisle. They just can't wait to get out on their own. Then all of a sudden, about the time they get old enough to be on their own, they start down the aisle with some young lady or young man. And the preacher says, wilt thou? And they wilt. And they're never on their own again. But this ring, this ring is gold, it says on the inside. I think 14 karat. It's a gold ring while I have it. It's still a gold ring when I lose it. It's a gold ring when I find it. And eternal life was eternal in Christ before I got it. It's eternal when I received it. If I lose it, it's still eternal life, because eternal life is in Christ Jesus. The believer is secure in Christ. Hallelujah. What a privilege it is. I looked to the word and I found out eternal life can be lost. The Bible lets us know in Ezekiel chapter 38 that the devil was created perfect in his beginning. And Lucifer rebelled and fell from his lofty estate. Thousands and tens of thousands of angels were called sons of God. Job chapter 38, he called angels the sons of God. When the morning stars were created, the sons of God sang together. But those angels left their first estate and reserved in chains under darkness, waiting for the day of judgment. If Lucifer could fall, if angels could fall, if Adam could fall, then it's about time for us to take heed lest we lose that hope of eternal life. Someone said the other day, Brother Brankle, if once you're my child, you'll always be my child. A child is mine regardless of whether he's in Germany, Africa, or whether I know where he is. That is true in the natural, but I'm glad that's not true in the spiritual. For if it was true in the spiritual, Adam could have not backslidden. And Adam, if he had backslidden and lost eternal life, could have never got it back. Jesus said in John chapter 8, you are of your father, the devil. If we were of our father, the devil, then I could have never been anything else but a child of the devil. But I received a spirit of adoption. Hallelujah. I was redeemed. I was begotten into a family. And now, as many as believe on him, to them gave he power to become sons of God and imparts to them eternal life. Life is in the Son. And in Christ Jesus, we live and move and have our being. There are 30 times in the Bible, New Testament, it calls it eternal life. Isn't that a thriller? Eternal life. 30 times, 210 times in the New Testament, there's a warning written to believers not to lose that hope, not to lose that fellowship, not to depart from the faith, but take heed. If you obey, if you continue, 210 times, there's a warning. I want to talk to us this morning. He that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of God. May I challenge you this morning that we're not here in fear, but we're walking in the fullness of the blessed hope, knowing that what he hath begun, he is able to perform. He is able to keep us from falling. You're in my Father's hand, and there's no power. The devil himself can't make you backslide. I said the devil himself has been stripped of his ability to make you backslide. With all of his conniving, lying power, he cannot deceive you. As long as you walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh, and neither principalities nor power nor things present nor things to come can separate you from the love of God. Nobody in the church can make you backslide. The preacher can't even make you backslide. See, there is nothing. Brother, we have eternal life in Christ. If you backslide and lose out with God, you'll have to walk out. You'll have to leave out of his hand, because Jesus fixed it so you would not have to fear. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. That's shouting ground, folks. Hallelujah. He said, my sheep know my voice, and they'll follow me. And if you see somebody that's not following you, mark it, they're a lost sheep then. Because if we're his sheep, we'll hear his voice and follow him. Can we take a little stroll through the scriptures? Let's build it on the word of God. I looked again to the word, and I found one may for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. In the worst reading of the word, Luke chapter 8, verse number 13, and they that are on the rock are they which hear and receive the word with joy, but these have no root, and for a while believe, and in the time of temptation fall away. It sounds like you can be a shallow Christian. You can neglect the word. You can neglect prayer. You can become an indifferent soul to the word of God and lose eternal life. Word fall away. Look again. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 12. By which also you're saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. One may believe in vain. Hold on. Paul exhorted believers everywhere, stand fast. Stay in there. Lay hold on eternal life. There's something more to this than a beginning. Let me shout with you. Let's be sure that men get a born-again experience in our altars. I'm disturbed about cheap grace and light salvations today that's not changing people's lives. Hundreds there are that don't know the joy of salvation. Anything that is as important as salvation, you need to know you're saved. Get something real. Leave there with an assurance, blessed assurance. His spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we're the sons of God. And the only reason why anybody will fall away, the only reason anybody will backslide, is the same reason you fall out of bed. You stay too close to where you got in. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 14. If Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain, and your faith also is vain. I want to challenge you, you can have vain faith if it wasn't real. Look again to the word. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 12. Paul says, having damnation because they cast off their first faith. Faith and obedience to God is the secret to eternal life. I'm saved by faith. I'm kept by faith. The Bible said we walk by faith. We live by faith. And hallelujah, we're going to be redeemed into his purchased possession because we kept the faith. Hallelujah. Looked again to the word. Chapter 3 of the Revelation. It says, he that overcometh shall not be hurt by the second death. And then it warns them, take heed lest you lose your crown. There are several passages of the scripture reveal exactly the same truth. I read again in Ezra chapter number 8 in the Old Testament, it was taught. For I was ashamed to require of the king a band of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy in the way, because we had spoken unto the king, saying, the hand of the Lord is upon all them for good that seek him, but his power and his wrath is against all them that forsake him. We don't hear this preached much anymore, but I wish we'd have a revival of preaching. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. I wish we'd have a revival on preaching. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness. Knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Friends, judgment to come ought to be a motive of going to heaven. Looked again to the word, 1 John chapter 2, verse 24. Let that therefore abide in you, which you have heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Father, or in the Son, and in the Father. Isn't that a glorious promise? If you shall let that which you've heard from the beginning abide in you, you shall continue in the Son and in the Father. In the book of Proverbs chapter 2, verse 13, 14, who leave the path of uprightness to walk in the way of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the forwardness of the wicked. For Colossians chapter number 1, verse 23, Colossians 1, 23, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. If ye continue, I'd like to exhort us in Pentecost today, there's a desperate need of continuing to walk in the perfect will of God. Let us not slack ourselves or content ourselves with our position as a believer. We have a position in Christ, but there's some continuance in the word of the Lord. We continue steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. I read again in Hebrews chapter number 3, and I want to build it on the scripture. We'll come try to elaborate on them a little bit later. But Christ is a son over his own house, whose house we are if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing firm unto the end. Are you holding fast? Is your faith unshakable? Have you got a hold of eternal life? Paul talked about twice laying hold on eternal life. It's something to fasten, stake your claims on, be steadfast in, be tenacious, absolute and sure. James chapter number 5, chapter number 5, verse 19. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know he that converteth a sinner from the error of his ways shall save a soul from death. Did you hear it? Save a soul from death and hide a multitude of sins. Looked again to the word, and I found it in chapter 3 of the book of Hebrews. And it says, we are made partakers of Christ If we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end, we are made partakers of Christ if we hold steadfast. In the Old Testament, the slayer looked for the city of refuge. There were cities of refuge located so man could find a refuge. If he was sinned and his sin was not a premeditated sin, even under the death penalty, there was a refuge found for those that had not willfully planned it. And there's a difference in willful disobedience and stumbling and falling into sin. If we sin willfully after we've received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. It's a different thing when a man willfully walks out on God and willfully lives in a rebellion. He's on dangerous ground. He that despised Moses' law died under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment suppose you to be thought worthy of those who've trodden underfoot the Son of God and have counted the blood of the covenant wherewith they were sanctified an unholy thing and have done despite to the Spirit of grace? Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. And then he puts it in there in bold print. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Friends, in our fellowship today, there's a permissiveness that I'm worried about. There's a lack of revival of preaching on sin and judgment and damnation and warning men of the hell to come. I was in a church just a few days ago in a district meeting. And in that district meeting, I preached one night when the auditorium was packed and jammed on the subject of hell. They lined up down the aisle and clear across the auditorium to buy the tapes. I've never seen any tape. There were so many wanted to buy. They came by and said, our children been in church for years and have never heard this. Our children have never heard a subject on hell. My family's never heard a subject on hell. I was in a pastor's church, and it's a great church, and he's a great man. I love him. I work with him. He runs over 700 in Sunday school, had a phenomenal growth. I've been with him twice. He said, Brother Brankel, I've never preached on hell. I don't know how to handle it. Friends, it's about time we warn men lest they fall away and be lost eternally. I'd rather my children do hear anything. I'd rather them to almost hear any doctrine than to be told that you can sin and live in open sin and folly and ungodliness and wickedness and still go to heaven. Eventually you won't be lost. I think it's the most damnable doctrine any child could hear. Not long ago, I picked up a book, an ardent believer in an overstatement of the security of the believer. He said, if I'm out with another man's wife, if I'm dog drunk, if I'm in a nightclub, if I'm cursing and I'm blaspheming God's name, if I'm living in immoral living, if I'm living in the worst, he went down the list. If I'm cursing, swearing, gambling, he said, if I die, I'll go straight to heaven. I don't want my children to hear that. It's the righteous. There shall in no wise enter into the city. Revelation 21 says, anything that defileth or worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they whose names are written in the book of life. Six things God said he hated: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, feet that run to mischief, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. Your Bible said are abomination in the sight of God, and nothing that is abominable shall enter into the kingdom. But the fearful, Revelation 21:8, the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderer, the sorcerer, the whoremonger, and all liars will have their part in the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone. I realize I'm in a church camp, and this would not be a popular subject, but it needs to be rehearsed in our ears. There has to be a revival of this if we survive. The security of the believer is secure in Christ Jesus. Our faith is not in man, and we're not depending upon our works or our merits. I don't want to be found in him having my own righteousness, but my faith must be firm to the end. My obedience must be firm to the end. I read in the book of Galatians, Paul said, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. And he begins with adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, and drunkenness, and they which do, and reveling, and they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. If it'll keep you out of heaven, it'll keep we preachers out of heaven if we're not man enough to warn them. Let's have a revival again. My heart trembles when I read the word. Luke chapter number 11, Jesus said it. And when you see the word, take heed, it must be trouble ahead. Detour, a stop sign, highways in trouble. Take heed, therefore, that the light that is in thee be not darkness. That light that is in your soul can go out. It was in this state, and I'll not refer to it in detail, lest it get away from us and someone would know who I'm referring to, but it was in this state that I was called to pray in a preacher's home. His wife was dying and grasping for breath. Every breath she breathed seemed like it would be her last one, and her little frail body was lying there, and every breath seemed to just cry, and it took all of her strength. When we prayed, the pastor and I laid hands on this little lady. Our prayers seemed to bounce off of the ceiling. We never got anywhere. The pastor on the way over there said, this man was one time greatly used of God. Built churches. This man was one time a flaming evangelist, Brother Brankle. One time this man built churches and held great revivals in pioneer days. I turned to him and I said, sir, this lady's very sick. You realize it and I realize it. Solomon, written in the old covenant, thou my son Solomon, know that the God of thy father, in serving with a perfect heart, with a willing mind, for the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. Isn't that a glorious promise for revival? But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. Cast me not away from thy presence, David said. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. What a privilege it is to know that God Almighty has a promise that will hold us in that darkest hour. Look again to the word 2 Peter chapter number 2. Verse 14, it'd been better you'd never known the way of righteousness than to have known it and to depart from it. I read in your hearing a while ago, I will give them eternal life and they shall never perish. But that life is in Christ and you're eternally responsible for keeping it. One of the reasons that I teach this so much, I go to the young people's department in our churches. I go to the CA class. I go into the youth ministries. I go to youth camps. Last year I was startled. I was in a youth camp and we were teaching young people. Young people, be obedient to your father and your mother. Listen to them, and I believe that's the teaching of this book. And I was teaching them to respect older people and to honor their father and mother. But about the time we were holding those teaching services, little hands went up all over that auditorium. Brother Brankle, how far do you go with this? My father sexually abuses me all the time. Little boys said exactly the same thing all over the auditorium. Boys said, my father sexually abuses me all the time. If we don't have a revival of warning men of the consequences of sin, we're going to fill our churches with people that feel secure because they've spoken in tongues one night and are on their way to hell today living in incest and sin and immoral living. It's time we had a revival to warn men of the damnation to come. My heart trembles. And I see those in some of the fringe of our fellowship that drink their cocktails, that habitually drink and practice drinking, and yet because they've spoken in tongues in some meeting and practice speaking in tongues, they feel secure inside of the church. Friends, this book said none of them shall inherit the kingdom of God. The number one question in our fellowship today, when I hold youth meetings, I go to churches and I ask to go to the young people's department, for I feel like there's where I need to begin revival. I try to be with our youth, and I love and admire youth. But do you know the number one question now in youth departments? Number one in our youth department. What's wrong with the dance? What's wrong with dancing? What's wrong with the world? Lasciviousness, immoral living is being condoned in so many circles with so much permissiveness that men feel secure on their way to heaven while they practice sin and ungodliness. May there be a revival that will cause us to return to God. No wonder Revelation said, "Hold fast that which thou hast, let no man take thy crown." Jesus said, because you've lukewarm and because you feel like you don't have need of nothing and you've lost the precious metal out of your life, I'll spew you out of my mouth. It's important that we hold our confidence firm unto the end. This is not a shouting message. I did not expect us to shout, but it's something to know our faith in God must be continued faith if it's going to save us in the end. Jude chapter 1, and there's more preaching out of the second chapter than the first. Jude chapter number 1 says, keep yourselves in the love of God. How valuable it is. 1 Timothy 6:20, oh Timothy, keep that that's been committed under thy trust. 1 Timothy 4:16, take heed to thyself and to the doctrine. I read it a while ago, continue in them. 1 John chapter 1 verse 7, if we walk in the light as he is the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanses us from all sin. Hebrews 5, 9, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto them that obey him. James 5, 19, brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, I quoted it, let him know he that converteth a sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death. It's possible, brethren, for us to err from the truth and need converting. Hebrews 3, 12, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. I want to sound a warning this morning. I believe the security of the believer is great, but we're not secure because we hold credentials with the Assemblies of God. I was in one of our large churches just a few years ago. It is the largest in that city, in the Full Gospel Fellowship. My heart sank and I wept and cried when I drove out of the city and I said, Sister Brankle, my heart's heavy. She said, what's wrong? I said, this man won't be in the ministry long. He looked like a flaming success. His church was growing. His building was filled. His Sunday school class was packed. But I saw something there. You can't serve two masters. It'll lead to shipwreck. You can't follow, go in the wrong direction forever without eventually reaching the wrong destination. My heart trembles when I see men that are going in the wrong direction. I know the inevitable salvage yard of the devil is waiting their lives. I wept when I drove out of town. She said, well, surely don't say that. Surely it can't be so. It seems like it's a success. I know, but I said, my heart's heavy. In a few days, my report came. He'd left his wife. He'd left his family, forsook all that he had, run off with some late Jane that had come through the way. His life was wrecked. His ministry was wrecked. His home was wrecked. His soul was wrecked. Everything. It's something to hold fast to what you've got. Let's get a hold of something in this camp meeting that'll hold us to God's unchanging hand. We are made partakers of Christ if we hold fast that which we've received. Look again. 1 John chapter 8, verse 31. If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Colossians 1, 23. If you continue in the faith. Hebrews 3, 6. But Christ is a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold our confidence fast, our confidence, and rejoicing firm unto the end. I want to admonish us this morning in the fellowship, hold to God's unchanging hand. Let me read it again. 1 John 2:24. Let that therefore abide in you which you've heard from the beginning. If that you've heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye shall continue. Hallelujah. In the Father and in the Son. And I don't know of a better place to live. Raised up together, made to sit together in heavenly places. What a fellowship. What a joy divine. 1 Corinthians 15:2, by which you're saved if you keep in memory that which I preached unto you. 1 Timothy 5:12, I quoted a while ago, having damnation because they cast off their first faith. No wonder the book is so explicit on this. Revelation 3:5, he that overcometh shall be clothed with white raiment, and I will not blot his name out of the book. It sounds to me like your name can be blotted out of the book. Someone came to me the other day and said, Brother Brankle, you're preaching backsliding. No, they're doing it anyway. I'm preaching eternal life. I'm preaching victory in Christ. I'm preaching abiding in the Son. I'm preaching confidence in the Redeemer. Hallelujah. But men are losing their salvation. Look again to Revelation 22. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his part out of the book of life. If you didn't have any part in the book of life, then he couldn't take it away. And the only way you can have your name in the book of life is be born into the family of God. He'll take away your part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in the book. Exodus 32, Pastor Moses, that pastored the largest assembly church. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. And the Lord said unto Moses, whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. It's possible your name can be blotted out of the book of life. Judas Iscariot, the Bible said, Acts 1:25, by transgression failed that he might go to his own place. And Peter said we need to hold an election so we can find someone to take his ministry, his bishopric. Judas was called one of the 12. Judas was called to preach. Judas was told to rejoice, not because devils were subject to him, but because his name was in the book. Judas was called to preach, called to follow Christ, and was anointed to preach and given power to cast out devils, had a ministry and a part of the bishopric. And the book said, Judas, by transgression, fell. You can have your name removed out of the book of life. Look again to the word. 1 Corinthians 9:27. I, therefore, so run, not as uncertainty. So fight I not as one that beateth the air, but I keep my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means when I preach to others, I myself would be a castaway. I can't think of anything worse than that word castaway. I looked it up in the Greek. I know a little Greek, the one that runs the restaurant. A little Hebrew, the one that sold me my suit. I'm not a Greek scholar, but I'm aware. I looked it up. Castaway, a reject, a total abandon of God. It's something, folks, to be righteous and righteous unto the end. Follow after righteousness. I'm really not impressed with signs and wonders if it doesn't produce righteousness. The Moonies have got some things that'll startle you. There's some people today doing things on by the power of the devil and by gimmick of man that'll startle your imagination. On the Johnny Carson show, they run a sword through their mouth and out the other side or through the throat, and the blood never runs. And they do startling things. The Moonies claim by their witchcraft and their false god, they can perform surgery. And some of our people, a lady in California the other day, had back trouble and went to the Moonies and came back, and they're supposed to have done hand surgery. And she says, I'm perfect in every way, and I've now had a well day and year. But I don't want the devil performing on me. Let's follow after righteousness. Righteousness will hold you when other things won't. And the devil's going to come with all power and lying wonders. Hold fast to what you've got. steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. 2 Peter 3:17, there ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things, beware lest you also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. If there's no danger of you falling, then why would we need to worry about it? Why would the word "take heed" and "beware" be so underlined in the scripture? Galatians 2:18, if I build again those things I once destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. Look again to the word Galatians 5:4. Christ is become of none effect unto you. Whosoever you are, they're justified by the law. Ye are fallen from grace. You can fall from grace. Hebrews or Galatians again, Paul's text tells us to stand fast in the liberty wherein Christ has made us free. Be not entangled again in the yoke of bondage. What a privilege it is to be steadfast in Christ. 2 John verse 8 and 9, look to yourselves that you lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresses and abideth not in the doctrine hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. Shout glory. We have fellowship with the Father. Let's go to the Old Covenant again and see if it's a Bible teaching. It's the Bible that Simon taught out of. Jeremiah 12:17. But if they will not obey, I will utterly pluck up and destroy that nation, saith the Lord. Ezekiel 18:20 says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Verse 24, but when the righteous man turneth away from his righteousness and committeth iniquity and doth according to all the abomination that the wicked man doeth, shall he live? All of his righteousness that he hath done shall not be mentioned in his trespasses that he hath trespassed, and his sin that he hath sinned, in them shall he die. I want to hold fast, don't you? Steadfast, unmovable, always abounding. Read again from the word. 2 Chronicles 15. The Lord is with you while you be with him. And if you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. There ought to be a positive proof in this Bible. The believer's security is faith and willingness to follow and obey Jesus Christ. Look again to the word. Romans chapter 1, verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became made vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. And then the next verses, God says, he turned them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which were not convenient. And then he said, that's the reason why there was lesbians and there were homosexuals. Because when they did know God, they glorified him not as God. Jesus said, if an unclean spirit go out of a man and he come back and find that vessel empty, he bringeth with him 7 more devils more vile than himself. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. I believe in the believer having security, but it's holding fast your profession firm unto the end. Read again, Proverbs 2:13. Who leave the path of uprightness and delight in the forwardness of the wicked. Who leave the path of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. Who rejoice to do evil and rejoice in the forwardness of the wicked. When I see a man in his own life become light on sin and indifference to sin and blind to sin, I know he's setting himself liable for a trap for the enemy. We don't play with sin. No man can take fire in his bosom and not be burnt. Let me plead while I'm here in the company with preachers also. Preachers, it's high time we hold our confidence in God. It's possible to be so bent on performing with a sermon till we fail to feed our soul and to keep ourselves spiritual in the sight of God. It's possible to be animate and energetic in building your church and let your soul become cold and become an open prey to the powers of darkness in the kingdoms of this world. There are some pitfalls that we need to avoid. May God keep us and guard us, and we'll be steadfast unto the end. I looked again to the word, Luke chapter 15, verse 24. This my son was dead, but he's alive again. He was lost, but he's found. There are four lost things in the book 50 chapter of Luke. Number one, there is the lost sheep. That lost sheep had a wandering spirit. And there's some that have that kind of a spirit. They just hard to keep them at home and keep them saved. And there's some people in the church, I wish this wasn't so, but there's some people seem to have difficulty of just being steadfast, never get on the rock. Am I right? You spend most of your time with the people that have a difficulty of finding their anchor in God. The sheep had a wandering spirit. Then there's the lost coin. It must have been negligence when they lost it. And there's a lot of people lost in the church by negligence. While I'm here, let me give an admonition. Every church service needs to count. Their souls walk in that door that may never get another chance. What a difference India'd have been if their leader had a found faith in God when they went to church that time looking for it. What a different Russia would be today if their leader had found the church as alive. God help us, every church service needs to count for God. Every message needs to be laden with necessity of getting to heaven. When boys and girls walk through our doors, there ought to be an altar service. I wouldn't pay the light bill on a church that doesn't have an altar service. Somewhere, people need to have opportunity to find Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It's a tragedy to be lost. We get so disturbed about other things, but we're dealing with eternal souls. We're dealing with men and women that spend eternity in the caverns of the damned, in hell for eternity if they're not saved. My heart cries out today, give us that steadfastness to hold to God's unchanging hand. I give unto them eternal life, and they'll never perish. Hallelujah. If you perish, you'll have to walk out on God. Unto him that is able to keep us from falling and to present us blameless. Hallelujah. Let me shout it. He'll keep you if you'll hold to God's unchanging hand. They're in my Father's hand, and no man can pluck them out. Hallelujah. Neither life, nor death, nor principalities, nor power, things present or things to come, can separate you from the love of God. There is no temptation taking you but what's not common to man. But he will, with every temptation, make a way of escape. Say amen. I want to preach the positive side of this. There is no need for any man to falter. You'll never meet a trial. You'll never meet a difficulty. You'll never meet an adversity. You'll never meet a temptation. But what he won't furnish grace, if you'll lean upon the Lord Jesus Christ and put your confidence in him. He's an unfailing, absolute, victorious king. And he is the author of eternal life. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. I can receive eternal life, I can reject eternal life. I can have eternal life, or I can lose eternal life. Life is in the Son. It was eternal before I got it. It was eternal while I possess it. And it'll be eternal if I reject it. But it's eternal life. Now, eternal existence is a different thing. I want to stress this. You are an eternal being. There'll never be a day when you're not. Hell's eternal. The lake of fire is eternal. Men forever and forever. Those words frighten me. When I know that souls will spend eternity forever and ever in eternal damnation, it's beyond my comprehension. The smoke of their torment, Revelation 14, ascendeth up forever and ever. But I want to shout, heaven isn't just a vacation either. You can sing the song if you want to when I take my vacation in heaven, but I'm planning on spending eternity there. Hallelujah. That in the ages, the unknown, countless years to come, he might show the exceeding greatness of his power to us. God bless you. Stand and love him together this morning.